Have you heard All of the Above with Norman Lear? So far, Norman's had conversations with Amy Poehler, Gerard Carmichael, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Charles Barkley, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, Stephen Tobolowsky, Martin Sheen, and last week it was Kevin Bacon.
When they say action, I don't want to feel like it's Kevin. I want to feel like it's, you know, in this case, Dick.
And don't forget to check out this week's episode with America Ferrara.
When I speak out and speak politically, I don't think of myself as speaking as an artist. I think of myself speaking as a person, as a citizen, as a woman.
All of the Above with Norman Lear. New episodes every Monday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice, but get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all you do, Drew.
Yes,
how
buddy.
You doing, Drewski?
Good day, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm just thinking about aging.
Mm-hmm.
Is it started to kick into you yet? You
yeah.
Really aware of it?
Well, yeah.
Noticed it?
Hate
it?
Well, yeah. There's a couple of things.
Couple of things.
Well, okay.
I wish.
You wish. I joined a gym mm-hmm. and have been lifting weights for the first time in a million years because all I did in the past was like skip some rope and do some shadow boxing and blah, blah, blah. But I started to notice I was getting weak. Like I felt weak.
You have time for lifting? Or?
Well, what I do, and I would recommend this to anybody, although I think everyone doesn't believe me.
All right, go.
I go, look, if this is going to take an hour or 90 minutes, I'm just not going to do it. I was taking this, there's like a yoga studio that was by my house. I was like, I'm going to take yoga. Every class was 90 minutes. And I'm like, once in a while, they had a 1 hour class that I would take and they'd be like, hey man, you got to get down with this 90. And I'm like, well, first off, I don't have that much. 90 minutes is a long time. If you can't get this shit done in an hour, I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. And then also, an hour, I mean, a straight hour, not 50 minutes, an hour of, you know, put your head between your legs, it's plenty.
Yeah.
But I don't have that much time, nor, I'll put it to you this way. I don't like it when people say, hey, I don't have time to date, or I don't have time to eat right, or I don't have time to work out. Or you have time. If you want to do it, you'll do it. And so I don't want to be a hypocrite. What I'm saying is if I'm to do something every day or 5 days a week, if it takes longer than a half hour or 45 minutes, I'm going to drop off. So what I realized is I can feel myself getting weak. I felt myself getting weak.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I just went, I'll just join the gym, and it'll be one of those gyms where you just have your own pass card, and you let yourself in and out, go whenever you want, it's open 24, whatever. So first things first, like my first impulse was, I'll get a trainer, and he'll go in and train. But I realized you get a trainer, it's an hour, and you have to schedule. It's now a schedule. I need this to be completely wide open. I can go whenever I want, in and out. The next thing I need to do is this thing's got to be a quick hitter. And so what I do
is it in the town where you live?
Yeah. So that's the other caveat. Yeah. It's got to be, you know, walking distance. Right. Otherwise, I'm out. You know, everything has to be the easiest.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like Lynette was like, come down to the gym in Pasadena. That's where my gym is. Like, I don't have enough time for that.
We'll make it.
And then like, she announced to me the other day, she's going to spend a couple hours there. It's like, this weird thing of like, come on down, and, you know, with a couple hours and we'll have lunch. You know, it's like, I can't do that. It's to do 28 podcasts
so
today.
Funny.
Oh
my God.
I said to Lynette, I said, I'm leaving. I was going to go host for Prager. She was leaving. And I said, oh, I'll just put Phil in the backyard. And because she said, I'm dropping the kids off. I'm going to the gym. And I said, okay, well, I'll just put Phil in the backyard. And she said, well, I'm going to be a while. And I was like, well, how long's it going to be? Well, it's an hour and a half, maybe more, you know? And I was like, oh God, I'm so jealous of everybody in their schedule. By the way, I was going to Prager Studio to do 3 hours of Prager, then come here, then come here and do my show and then do CarCast, my other podcast, at the end of the night. So this part of like, go to the gym for an hour and a half, it doesn't exist. But what I've done is I said, here it is. If it's too much or too whatever, I'm out. Hit the treadmill, walk the first lap around the simulated track for about 4 minutes, you know, brisk walk, and a 3.5 miles an hour, whatever, decent brisk walk. Then I break into a run, jog, you know, 6 miles an hour, whatever it is, a decent trot. Do that till I get to about the 10-minute mark. Just basically get a little lather going, so to speak, break a sweat. And then just chest machine, shoulder machine, arm machine, lat pull down, you know, just boom, 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 you know, just knock it out.
Two, three sets of each? Or
yeah, three yeah. sets of 10 or 12 yeah. or whatever. Okay. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah. Go grab some 30-pound dumbbells, do some curly type things.
So you're doing every body part every time you go in.
Yeah, just kind of knock it out. Yeah, yeah. And then just look up the clock and go, it's been a half hour. I feel like I broke a sweat and I'm getting back in my car and heading home.
How many days a week?
I've been hitting about five.
Oh, that's
about
great.
Four or five.
That's good.
Yeah.
You can break it up a little bit so you're not doing every body part every time.
Yeah, it's. I guess I should. And I'm just kind of.
You push the weight a little bit that way.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get up on my yoga ball again. I can stand
I saw that.
On my yoga ball, and I'm trying to
Instagram.
Just sort of get practice getting standing up on my yoga ball and stuff like
you know,
that.
That's why I set stuff up in my garage, because I literally, I don't have time to change clothes into gym clothes, so I want to be able to do it in my street clothes. B,
clothes work for you in prison?
Because literally,
working out in jeans?
I just do it before I get in my car, literally.
Yeah.
I do 30, 35 minutes before I get in the car, and then I get in the car and go. That's it.
Right. I thought about you, and I thought about that. I physically don't have the room, and also I figured out somehow psychologically, I was thinking a lot about you and your home gym and me always telling you do the home gym stuff. I figured out that somehow it's working for me a lot better to go
somewhere.
A very limited distance, like three blocks.
I was looking
and to
at
just walk in.
Weird.
And walk out, like not put anything back or do anything.
I strangely, though, was looking at gym equipment, and there's places that are really nice stuff for home stuff, that expensive.
There is. I physically don't have the room where I'm at right now, but also I feel like wherever I'm at psychologically, somehow me just blowing in and blowing out.
Right.
Also, as opposed to listening to upbeat music, I've been listening to Dennis Prager's radio show and books.
I listen to
other
things,
lectures
and
stuff.
That's all I do.
It seems weird to work out to wisdom.
No, it's like you will get into sort of a zone. You'll start noticing it's almost a meditative thing you get into. With that.
Oh yeah, you'll forget what set you're on because you're listening.
You're concentrating. Yeah.
No, I agree. It's counterintuitive. Everyone thought,
I've got so many good things to give
you need
you.
Hard driving rock music to motivate you. You need the theme from Rocky, but no. And so now for me, it's like, well, it takes 35 minutes. I get a little blood flowing and a feeling stronger, and I get some wisdom, and I'm back home like that. And but yes, I have noticed that.
Time iTunes. It's time for you to go to iTunes. You fish around a little bit.
I'll go everywhere. Yeah. The reality is I'm working with Dennis Prager on this No Safe Spaces thing, and I've really been into his words lately. And the way it works is I have an hour and a half of him logged every day because I can't listen to his radio show again because of the schedule.
What's the would you say the number one sort of, I don't want to say thing you've learned, but position he holds that you find interesting and maybe novel?
There's a couple things I enjoy about him. He is a joyful guy. You don't find guys that are very religious and very conservative to be joyful. He's a joyful person. And he has a very good sense of humor about himself. He has something called the Happiness Hour, which I enjoy, which he just explains how important it is to be happy. But it's work. You have to work at being happy. And I realize that.
Jeez, I was explaining to him that he needs to get his happiness. You need to study happiness because he hadn't quite studied it yet. And I was sending some – I'm going to do a PragerU thing on happiness because he doesn't really fully get it. And I was explaining to him that there's a ton of research on it out there.
And he was
like, okay, I'm interested.
So. And you owe it to people around you. Like you know, my mom is the most miserable human being on the planet, and it ruined my childhood. It just really did. I didn't like being around this miserable person. And I, although I'm not certainly guilty of not being consistent about this, you know, with my kids, you know, today was their last day of school. I was like in the kitchen, you know, whooping it up with them. Last day, woo, you know, like, yeah. You know, and I don't give a shit about their last day of school. I don't even know if they do, but I was having fun with it with them because I want them to sort of remember me, you know, having a good time, being joyful in front of them and so on and so forth. So
it's amplified positive emotions.
Yeah. He does a happiness hour I like. He's encyclopedic when it comes to anything to do with Russia or the Old Testament or the New Testament or anything like this. He's literally encyclopedic. And the Torah, so I enjoy hearing. I like religion, and I like wisdom, even though I'm not religious.
He's
I enjoy
get you
hearing.
To convert?
I can't, but I can't. I can't. Cannot.
Why?
Huh?
Why is that? I don't know.
I can't. It's like for the same reason I can't be hypnotized. You know, I just can't. People go, "Oh, this guy will hypnotize you." You can't.
You can't convert for the same reason you can't be hypnotized.
Yeah.
Explain that. I don't get it. That's hysterical.
I am so close to the surface at all the time with everything that this idea of like, now you've drifted off and now you think you're a train whistle.
Oh, no, no.
You know what I mean? Or any of that.
Why can't you convert? I understand why you can't be hypnotized.
I know too much. I cannot. You can't convince me that there's something out there that is omnipresent and is all knowing. And you just can't. There's nothing that can ever convince me that there's something out there. You just can't. So I wish you could. Like I'd like to be hypnotized, and I'd like to believe. The question came up, which was interesting, which is someone said to me when I was hosting a show. So the big question for the atheist, because Prager sort of debates the atheist, kind of leaves me alone when it comes to being an atheist, but this is like the big question with all the atheists is, do you hope you're wrong? And I didn't hesitate. I was like, absolutely. Yeah. And they're like, why wouldn't you? Oh, most don't answer that way. I was like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, they fight, you know? And I realized, oh, they're fucking jerk offs.
Yeah.
But then now they're just fighting. That's right. A ridiculous.
Now they're just being oppositional.
It's a ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous question.
What greater thing could there be than if you're wrong? Wonderful. You live eternal life in heaven. Fantastic.
Well, if you're being truthful as opposed to combative, if you're being truthful, well, then I'm confused by the question. Asked me if
do you hope Santa Claus exists?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope everything exists.
Right.
Now, that's funny, but it is funny that, and I do also like that Prager just kind of gets to it. Like when he's talking to somebody and he's very cordial and polite when he debates people, but he asks the questions, you know, and he doesn't have any problem with asking the questions. I think he thinks he's a good guy, and he is a good guy, so he's able to ask questions. But he was talking to some woman on CNN, and it drives me insane now, and she was called herself a conservative. She was a black woman who was a conservative, and she was going off on Trump nonstop. And so Dennis just said, do you think we'd be better off with Hillary as president? And then, of course, she just went more off on Trump. And it's like, you're conservative. Would you really like Hillary Clinton in? Because now here are your choices, Trump or Clinton. And she wouldn't answer. But I like that he just figures out a way to ask the question, just ask the question. But I'm interested in I guess it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm interested in wisdom.
Oh.
And I'm not interested in stories like everyone else either wants to go, oh, no, this dragon has three heads. It's called a fire top. And it's got oh no, you'd love it. Its tail comes to it flares out. Like ever see like a spade, like ace of spades?
Oh yeah.
And he uses the tail as a weapon too. Wow. And I'm like, oh okay. And then the next group of idiots are like, she had triplets and she drowned them all in a tub. She's from Texas. She claims to be religious. Yeah, yeah. She drowned her. Could you imagine drowning your kids in a tub? And I'm like, some days, but I'm more of a shower guy. But okay. Well, this dragon. Hold on, dude. They're bringing back Wookshack on the new Star Wars. They're bringing him back. Remember how he died in Star Wars 18? He's back. It's coming back. Wookshank's coming back. And I'm like, yeah, who gives a shit? By the way, aren't we going to die soon enough? What are we talking about here? This woman, she was happily married. She was a leader in the community. I'm like, okay, I get shit. I've signed off on nutty people.
Yeah.
There's nutty people. Okay. I've also signed off on one out of every 2.7 million moms killing their kid. I've signed off on the fact that they're guys that never got laid who are now drawing dragons and want to draw you into their fucking retard world. Okay, there's all that. Now, I'm interested in wisdom because I feel like I can apply that.
Right.
The not drowning the kids in the tub, I think I got that one. The dragon doesn't fucking exist. So I'm not really going to spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. Or the new fucking Wookshack or whatever's on the fucking Star-Tard tour. I'd like to focus on some wisdom that may help propel me and affect my life in a positive way. Not sure why 1% of the population is interested in wisdom and the other 99% are interested in The Walking Dead. But they are. And it's good. It's good for me because I get to then make more money because you guys are watching Walking Dead and interested in things that don't have anything to do with you. And it's basically like, look, let's just see how distracted we can be with shit that doesn't have to do with us.
That's right.
And then we'll die. So you can look back on your life of a big, long line of distraction, and then you die.
It's a lot of what goes on.
Well, I'm not interested in that.
I'm with you on
that life.
I'm with you. I'm also interested in Smart Mouth.
Ooh. Yeah.
This is a dual solution oral agent. It's activated mouthwash, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for more than 12 hours. So it's a zinc ion technology, which I am here to tell you is the best way to combat halitosis, bad breath. It binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur, which is what creates the smell and the bad breath.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, nothing ruins an intimate moment or any interpersonal conduct as quick as bad breath. Doesn't matter if you work out all day and, have all the – listen, no matter who you are, no matter how wise you are, no matter how much wisdom you have to offer, you will show up with bad breath. That wisdom, you ain't hearing it. So foul breath ruins social situations, sabotages relationships, can be a problem in work, can be a problem – in career application, and this stuff works. It's a dual solution oral rinse, activated zinc ion. Visit smartmouth.com, or you can find it also at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, or wherever you shop. You want this zinc ion technology. Smartmouth.com.
All right, let's see. Who do you want to talk to up there?
Start at the top.
All right, let's talk to Tia, 32, Orange County. What's going on?
Hi, Adam and Drew.
Hi.
It's sort of emotional for me to talk to you guys. Listening to Loveline saved my life. So I have to say thank you on behalf of everybody you guys like never hear from and never call, you know, and all these people that you help that you guys never meet. So thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to know, you guys had a guest on your show, I think both your shows, about like a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. That was talking about using a sliding scale for parking tickets and speeding tickets and things like that.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, I was thinking about it, and I wanted to know if Dr. Drew thinks, would that work for the medical industry to have a sliding scale for drugs and services and testing, and would that...
That's already out there, very much so. You just have to look for it. I mean, this slightest...
Do you think
it's the way it is. I mean, the things are either set by the government, which is Medicare, and then the insurances follow whatever the government set, or Medi-Cal, which is, again, another piece of the sliding scale. Or you can go to hospital, you know, university, teaching centers, and there's all kinds of sliding scales available there, and including zero cost.
So when a drug sort of makes the news because it's so expensive, you know, and it's $1,000 for this cancer treatment.
You can apply to the manufacturer for compassionate use, and they'll give it to you for free. So there's stuff. It's just people don't work. They don't use the system. It's cumbersome. It's difficult. They don't understand it. It's hard to use. And this is why you need primary care. Primary care doctors can help you do that. And that's sort of what's missing right now in our system. And it's unfortunate.
And there's also way too much talk about it. Everyone goes nuts about it. It's just way too much talk. And I was poor my whole life. It's a struggle, but you have to, you know, go to free clinics, go to county USC.
Yeah, it's a pain. It's a pain in the ass. I'm not saying it's pretty.
No, but everything's a pain in the ass when you're poor.
Yeah.
That's how it works. All right. Kevin wants to know what Drew thinks about Tiger Woods.
Yeah, talk about it.
Yeah.
Kevin.
What's going on?
Drew. Adam, get it on.
Get on, man.
Yeah, with Tiger's recent developments, I don't know if you guys saw the dash cam video, but it's pretty bad. I mean, he's talk about a blackout, and they're just lights are on there, and nobody is home.
Yeah.
Was wondering kind of what Drew, maybe Tiger could use a little Drew in his life. He, you know, continues to get the back surgeries probably to help him come back quicker, but clearly, you know, he's got a pain killer problem, and that might be what's holding him back.
I was thinking.
Yep. Kevin's right.
I thought about him a lot. I thought about this a lot. Like, he's playing golf.
Yeah.
Why all the back surgeries?
Yeah, he's not defensive lineman.
Gary.
I can give you a little insight if you like.
Yeah. He had a crappy swing or something.
Yeah,
right?
Golf analysts have been saying since he was in college at Stanford that the way he swings is very unorthodox and unconventional, and it puts a severe amount of stress on his back. And they called these massive injuries later in his career when he was 17.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to know still, what the quote massive injuries are.
I still.
He just said he was going
to
have
playing
bad
golf.
Disc issues
like,
by the time
I just.
His 30s.
I don't know. Again.
Well, let's add the score up. He was treated in an inpatient setting for behavioral addiction. So he's somebody with proclivities to addiction of some type or another. We're looking at the dash cam.
Oh, by the way, everyone who passed. You know, I always love it. It's like they found him slumped over the wheel at 4 a.m., passed out with his car running. He seemed out of it and disheveled when the officers knocked on his window. It's like, yeah, no shit. Yeah. You could just go to sleep on a Tuesday night and have an officer at 4 a.m. bang on your bedroom window and you'd seem a little out of it. But, you know, here's the problem. All right. Drew, break
right,
it down.
Let me keep it going. So the behavioral addiction is there. So that's somebody with addictive potential. We have a previous incident with Ambien. So there's been consequences from benzodiazepine use and now escalated back pain and opiate use. You know, that's what do we talk about here all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, until he gets off the opiates, by the way, he's on three really powerful anti-inflammatory. Sort of that Xeljanz stuff we talked about, was the mm-hmm. last show?
Yeah.
In that sort of category of anti-inflammatory, you know, immune-suppressing agents to try to help manage his pain. Opiates. He's got to get off the opiates. Could all this be opiates? He only copped to Vicodin. To take enough Vicodin to be that out of it, we're talking to the 30 to 50 pill range. And that would shut down your liver unless you slowly escalated to that much because this Tylenol is acetaminophen in Vicodin. Mm-hmm. So that much would really screw your liver up unless you slowly escalated it, but then you'd be tolerant to it and you wouldn't be that out of it. So what would make him that out of it? The only thing I can come up with is add in the benzodiazepine again, the Ambien or those kinds of drugs.
Right.
And then, yes, that's the combination that's killing everybody. Doctors prescribe it all the time. So I'm going to guess that's what's going on here.
Well, doesn't the Ambien also, that's where's he at 4 a.m. in his car on a weeknight or Sunday night or whatever it was. I think it was Sunday night or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was Sunday night going into Monday going into Memorial Day. And when he was questioned, he told police that he was in Los Angeles driving to Orange County.
Yeah. So,
well, listen, it's completely out. But what I'm saying
is, he might
have
been at home and just got in the car and started driving.
That's what I'm saying. That's the Ambien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ambien is he's going to go out for a drive and he doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
So that.
Have you guys watched the whole dash cam video?
No, give us some.
It's like the highlights are, at least from what I watch, at a certain point, the cop's trying to do the, all right, look at this light, and then I'm going to shine a flashlight, and you follow it with your eyes, don't move your head. And in anticipation of that, he goes, do you see the light that I'm talking about? Yes. Can you touch it with your finger? And Tiger reaches out and touches the cop's face.
That's good.
And he's like, okay, Mr. Woods, please stop moving. It's pretty bad.
It's completely out of it.
He's very, very out of it.
Right? All right, it's fine. He's on drugs. And my biggest problem with this, Drew.
Tell me.
You're going to owe me an apology.
Oh, probably. Another one?
Well, somebody shot me a tweet, which I favorite tweeted, but Gary, you don't have to bother looking for it. But it was basically like, hey, what's wrong with a shot of alcohol for pain sort of thing?
Oh,
like,
we talked about it.
And I said, look, man, they used to give you a shot of brandy and then they'd cut your leg off down on the battlefield. And it's like, I'm not trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, but what I'm saying is we got a world of guys just drugs, and dying, and you know these guys are in pain and whatever. And look, if it came down to my son, I'd rather him do two shots of whiskey and go to bed than a handful of pills.
This Tiger's whole story points out how insane our thinking is about drugs. DUI, he's drinking, man. Oh, not alcohol. Oh, fine, no problem.
Well, the thing
that
pissed me off.
No, it's pills. They're worse. They're more dangerous.
Of course. The thing that pissed me off is he did this thing of there was no alcohol involved. The breathalyzer detected no alcohol. Like, they kept doing it.
Yeah, so that's immoral. You're a drinker. As opposed to, oh, I'm just taking what the doctor gave me. No, that's what's going to kill you.
Well, the thing that always pisses me off is instead of taking this as an opportunity to shine a light on opioid addiction, it was, there's no booze. Like, that was a combination of drugs. It didn't sit like, he treated it like he went to a restaurant and he had the hibiscus tea and that didn't sit well with the lamb shank he ate. And so he had a reaction and had to run to the bathroom.
Right.
So it was, his discussion of it, and even the news's sort of discussion of it, was, first off, nothing to see here, no booze. No booze.
No illicit drugs.
No booze.
No bad drugs.
No booze.
Only good drugs.
No, he passed the breathalyzer. Yeah. So first off, his statement was like, there was no booze involved. Yeah. Like, okay, I don't know how much booze was involved with Heath Ledger. But, we can't ask him because he's not here anymore. And there's been lots of these stories. So, no booze, no shit. Okay. That's number one. And then it's like this combination. You know, the doctor told me this, but it wasn't where I was taking this antihistamine. And it caused this bizarre reaction. So, you've completely just sort of whitewashed and danced past this issue, and you and I don't like that.
No, God, no. But it's putting a moral blush on something that has nothing to do with morality. Just humans and their relation to chemicals. Period. End.
Well, wasn't it? I mean, Chris Cornell's body still
benzos,
warm, right?
Benzos. Same. It's the hidden epidemic, man. I'm telling you, that's the one that goes with the opiates that kills.
Right.
The opiates are causing the severe addictive pathology, but the benzo added is what kills.
Which is the benzo? What pills?
Lorazepam, Ativan, Xanax, Clonopin, Valium, many of them. You know, Xanax, Zolpidem. You know, Ambien.
So what are they? They're mixing those with what pain pills? Oh, with
Vicodin.
Okay, I got you. All right, let me put us all in a little better mood. ZipRecruiter, man, tough to find talent when you're starting a new business. ZipRecruiter can help. Post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. Unlike the other sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. That's right. Like Liam Neeson. He abduct his daughter. He's going to find you. Over 80% of jobs posted get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls. Screen rate and manage candidates in one place with their easy-to-use dashboard. Ooh, easy-to-use dashboard. I like that. I wish it was an actual dashboard. You know, I like those cars. All right, right now.
How about easy to wheel?
Easy to wheel
for a wheel. For a wheel, it'd be good.
Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADS, and you can post your job for free. All right, go to AdamCarolla.com if you'd like, and find out where we're playing live. Irvine coming up Thursday, June 15th. Dennis Prager's going to be on stage with us. And, The Reasonable Doubt Town Hall, me and Garrigus, Thursday, July 20th. Tickets, AdamCarolla.com.
That's a tenny.
From his restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got the Bar Crawl in Seattle on the 24th. You can check that out. Lynette and the gang are all going to be there. Drewski.
Go to Doctor.com. Check out our family podcast, please. We need you.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla with Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
The Carolla Drinks, comedy and music tour, live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soto Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus, comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Carolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.